And here's yet another example of this, another of our ABC Top 5 scientists showing collaboration between farmers and the likes of herself in Botanic Gardens, Dr. Chantelle Doyle. As you were growing up, when did you fall in love with plants?
No, I didn't like plants. My mum liked plants and she kept trying to get me interested in plants. I avoided it repeatedly.
Didn't work though, did you?
No. I got into plants because I worked with a lot of landholders in Western Queensland and speaking with usually graziers about how their pasture, the diversity in their pasture was a great way to have a conversation. So that was how I got into plants because I cared about biodiversity on farms. And the best way to talk with landholders about biodiversity on farms is like what kind of grazing pressure they're using and how many native grasses and native herbs you have, and then the value of those as a nitrogen source for their cattle.
Did they know much about the plants that they had on their land?
Yeah. Usually I think most landholders that I spent time with really valued the species that they had on their property. They love to learn about them as well. Probably most of the interest comes from having some kind of agricultural benefit, but certainly most landholders retained conservation areas or shelter belts for livestock. And it was always really fun to just have a wander through those and see what was popping up.
So that was the beginning. What happened next to you in your evolution as a botanist?
I guess I've done a lot of different things. I actually did theatre originally, theatre and performance, and I was told that there was a 10% employment rate in Australia and it was not the career to be in unless you had nothing else that you were going to do. And I also just really cared about the state of our environment and our future. I mean, really cared. I cared too intensely, you know, you can care too much. So then I went into conservation with not-for-profit organisations. I worked with Greening Australia for quite a while. And then I worked at the Australian Museum for a little while as well, which was amazing. I absolutely adored it. But within a year of that, they put in redundancies. So you all have these moments where you have your dream and you've got there and then it gets taken away and you're like, ah, here's life. And then you start again.
What period was that? How many years ago? In other words, when you were at the museum, because the museum, you know, was founded in 1827, which is the year Beethoven died. And, of course, the anniversary is coming up, 200 years.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing we have these institutions in Australia? The Botanic Gardens also is the longest, oldest scientific institution we have in Australia.
1816.
Well done. Thank you. I love that you can do dates. You couldn't have asked me the date. But yes, to answer your question, when was that? It would have been maybe 2013. I can't quite remember.
So fairly recently, really. And you've nonetheless held on doing various jobs for various people. But your Botanic Gardens.
Yeah. I mean, look, Botanic Gardens is a dream role. I ended up working in the gardens mostly because I work with geneticists there. And geneticists are not necessarily known for being adept at breaking down genetic principles for people to use. So my job at the gardens is to be an intermediary between the geneticists and the people that use the genetic data for conservation of threatened species.
Can you still do those calculations, you know? I remember exams where you had to work those out.
Yeah, look, do you know I never did genetics? No, that's right. I didn't even do botany at university. And here I am. That's right. I'm actually, to take a tiny segue, I'm actually teaching for the first time this year, Botany 101. And it's amazing because I'm learning it for the first time with the students. It's fantastic.
What do you make of it?
I enjoy it, but it becomes really evident how some of the principles that we're using are slightly out of touch now. So next year we're going to be revising the content. But it's great. I love learning it. And suddenly the things that I intuitively know, I guess maybe I have an eye. You know, you have an eye and you're like, oh, what plant family does that belong to? And oh, it's Myrtaceae. But now I'm actually learning, oh, well, these are the reasons it belongs to Myrtaceae. And I can help the students break that down as well. So it's an absolute privilege to work with them and learn it myself.
And what's next? What's the main line of research you're doing now?
Yeah, the line of research is fascinating. Broadly, I work in genetic rescue. So plants often become threatened with extinction because they don't really like to mate with themselves or their siblings. And they can do it. That's the really cool things about plants. They can mate with themselves, but if they do, their seeds or their seedlings will end up very unhealthy. And we can look at a plant population and go, yeah, it's doing really well, but all of a sudden it will start deteriorating or become extinct. And with land clearing and with climate change, we're getting more and more threats to plant species, and they're not able to reproduce very well anymore, the threatened species. So basically what I do is I transport pollen from one location to another to test whether or not we can get them to reproduce naturally in the wild better. And then we can re-establish new populations. That's a really well-established principle. It takes a lot of effort because you actually have to emasculate the flowers. And by emasculation, I mean you have to rip off the male parts so they can't pollinate themselves. And the male parts are called the pollen, basically. But the interesting part of that work is a lot of species have now developed sterility in that the pollen doesn't work at all anymore because it's been isolated for so long. And the reason the pollen doesn't work anymore is it's trying to protect itself from pollinating itself again. I know it's amazing. Agricultural breeding has been capitalizing on this for a couple of hundred years to create crop varieties. But what I'm really interested in, and this is kind of pushing the envelope a little bit, is maybe can we consider using gene editing like they do in ag to apply that to conservation of species, which are now so inbred or so sterile that they're not going to be able to restore themselves naturally.
This is amazing. Rumour has it, by the way, that you know someone who's often on the Science Show called Peter Bernhardt in Missouri.
I don't know Peter, but yes, Peter's book many, many years ago about the anther structure, and the anthers are the part of the flower that holds the pollen, and pollen is the male reproductive parts of a flower. His book on anther structure actually taught me about buzz pollination. And buzz pollination is basically what a lot of bees do. They vibrate the anthers to make the pollen release. And a lot of Australian bees do it.
And he sends me pictures of bees from all over the world, especially in China, actually, to show these various mechanisms. It's very intimate.
Oh, it's very intimate. And it's actually really fascinating. I guess if there's a takeaway for any people about plants, if you can get in there with a little hand lens or a microscope, and this is what I do a lot of, I love microscope images or scanning electron microscope, and you can see the parts of a plant up close, it will absolutely blow your mind. They're incredible.
They are too. Chantelle Doyle from the University of New South Wales and the Royal Botanic Gardens in Sydney. Another example of scientists, and in this case, farmers, working well together.